I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
You are listening to Rental Shop's Backstage Pass.
On the device with me, I would say on the phone, but sort of on the phone, on Zoom app with me right now is Lindsay O'Connor. If you've been home playing some Doom Eternal, you may recognize her voice. She is a voice on Doom Eternal, also vocalist for Coma Cluster Void and some other rad projects. First off, Lindsay, thanks for coming in and taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, thanks for having me virtually.
So you just went and took your dog outside. You've been spending probably more time with your dog lately than you're used to. Is that right?
Yeah, and he loves it. My day job, I work from home anyway. So,
oh, okay.
But now that I'm captive, basically, and I can't go to shows or leave him, in the middle of the night to go do fun stuff, I have to kind of, just play with him a lot, which is great, and he gets to go on really long frequent walks, which he loves, so no complaints from him.
So where are you calling in from today? What state are you in?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, right on. So how are things going in Las Vegas, and it's kind of surreal to see the strip completely dead, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I'd say the tone in the community is just everyone's being especially cautious and respectful of each other. We're doing the best we can. There's definitely some infrastructure problems and making sure everybody has what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like businesses and the strip and everything, everyone's been very, just understanding of the severity of the situation that we're in globally. So
yeah.
There wasn't really a lot of pushback or anything around like the strip closing down or any of the casinos. And a lot of the local businesses have been very proactive and staying and making sure that some of the essentials, like food and medicines and things like that, are still accessible. A lot of great local food stores and things like that are doing deliveries where
nice.
They hadn't before. But there's hiccups with anything. I don't think any community was really prepared for anything like this, but it's just weird. It's like a ghost town. There's no tourists, like
mm-hmm.
half of Vegas population is tourists. So it, it's a little eerie, but just, making it through.
So, how are you holding up personally? Like, how are you staying busy and keeping your mind busy and not, getting too anxious, or are you doing okay?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. That's what you need to ask. I'm doing okay. I I'm kind of the person to reach out to people and see how they're doing. So thanks for asking.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing okay. I think, it's one of those things where you have laser focused on your own internal wellness and
yeah.
projects or ambitions. So I've just been kind of channeling that into accomplishing goals that may be distracted in the past. So that's been really healthy. Managing the amount of influx of news that I take in has been really helpful too. I try to stay informed, but I don't rub in a lot of the, updates from CNN and stuff like that. And
yeah.
then like having a good laugh with my friends with some really stupid memes throughout the day is like, that saves me a lot because, it's very isolating, especially like for me living out here in Vegas. I'm from California, so I don't really have a social life out here except for one of the projects that I'm in, and it's weird to not be connected to the people that you are that you lean on the most, but yeah. I think everyone's kind of making do, you know? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, I'm staying busy through these, you know, I have my makeshift podcast studio in my bedroom. So I'm just doing this. I'm talking to a lot of musicians, talking to a lot of friends, talking to some wrestlers, just basically staying busy and then going on long walks. Both my jobs are kind of on hold for now. You know, it's going to pick up and when, you know, at the thing is like the thing that's crazy is like nobody knows like what the timeline is or whatever, but you know, it could be a lot worse, so I'm just trying to look at it positively and just trying to channel my energy into something positive. Have you had the chance to play Doom Eternal yet?
I have not, and that completely sucks because I know a lot of people pre-ordered or were able to get theirs mail or and I actually just moved into a new place, so I'm just kind of like still getting my stuff together. So my like last priority was gaming, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure.
But I have listened to the soundtrack, and I've seen clips and everything online. And honestly, like after we recorded it, none of us really got any previews of, as far as I know, got any previews of what the end result was. So hearing it just gave me like goosebumps and chills. I just remember how electrifying the experience was and how that was able to be captured and translated into the game, just watching it and hearing it online and stuff like that. And I just, you know, felt all of that like crazy energy we were channeling. It was kind of a really phenomenal experience, I think, for each of us. And it's something that, you know, I still can't believe I'm like in that game. It's like weird. You don't like ever grow up thinking I'm going to be in a video game, right?
Especially a Doom game,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I played Doom when I was a kid, and it's like, I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be a part of it.
So, I will also say I'm not like a huge gamer. I have some old school stuff, but so I have not played the game. I will 100% admit that. Ian just got the game. He's been playing it, but, give me a heads up of like, are you like on a song that's featured in the game, or do you play a voice of a character or?
So there was a choir of us, choir of metal singers, and we were throughout the game kind of as the backing soundtrack for some of the bigger fight sequences.
Nice.
So, yeah. So like, you know, obviously Mick Gordon, amazing. He, produced and, you know, he produced this really amazing soundscape that is eerie, but very fleshy and human because of the intimacy of the voices that he captured.
Yeah.
We were all standing really close to each other, and we had to learn like this new language. And
wow.
So it's very, yeah, very mystical. It feels very real. And it's just throughout the soundscape of the game. And, you know, it shakes you to your core, because I definitely think that each of us were pulling from some heavy doing that stuff for like 8 hours. So it's pretty intense.
How do you know how you were recruited for that?
It's really funny. So I don't know. I think I was trolling Facebook or something.
Sure.
And I saw someone post something about like video game looking for metal singers, and I was like, huh, what's this? This is literally like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Okay. So I looked. I can't quite remember what the landing page or the post said. And I don't know if it actually said it was for Doom. So I don't think that was there. Maybe it was. I can't remember. No, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. My memory, I'm getting older. I'm like, I remember what it was.
It's all good.
It was supposed to, yeah, somebody posted something that Mick had on his website looking for vocalists for the new Doom game. And I was like, oh, there's no way. Something in me was like, all right, send him like a Instagram pic or a clip of you doing a cover or something.
Yeah.
Just on a whim. It was like 3 a.m. I'm like, there's no way. Like, whatever. I wasn't to the outcome at all. But I got an email and basically just accepting me into the fold.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And it was very like, it was a very surreal thing because it was completely on a whim. I sent, you know, a couple of Instagram vocal clips of mm-hmm. cover songs, not originals.
Yeah.
And it was just on a whim. And I think it was very serendipitous because when I flew out to Austin during South by Southwest, I almost said Southwest Terrifier. South by Southwest to record, a number of the vocalists in the group, we already knew each other personally, but we didn't know that, you know, each other was going to be there.
Yeah.
So it was very serendipitous. It was very cool. We made some new friends, you know, and just stayed in contact, and it just all worked out really well.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm stoked for you, and I'm going to have to play that game and see if I can pinpoint your voice.
Good luck. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of gutturals, a lot of male and female voices, you know, harmonizing.
That's awesome.
You know, and I was told that the ladies of the crew were louder than the men, so but I'm sure if you can pick me out, that would be amazing.
Hell yeah. I'll see if Ryan the Beard can. He'll probably do a little bit better than I would be. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how you're able to kind of manage the amount of like news intake that you have and stuff. And I feel like it's easy to get sucked into that stuff. But music is a good way to kind of give ourselves like a positive release. I've been asking people, and I was curious what your opinion of. Do you have like an album or maybe a couple albums that are able to kind of like reshift your mind and able to allow you to get like a, I don't know, maybe kind of handle your anxiety? Is there anything that's like a calming music to you?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple different categories. There are some things that I listen to that are a little bit more cathartic. So when I do feel anxious, I can put it on and it helps me to just kind of move that emotion around.
Mm-hmm.
And then calming ones are kind of, I guess, albums that are more inspirational, that give me like that higher like vision of my life or what I'm trying to work on, that takes me out of the anxiety.
Yeah.
So I would say for those that are more calming, I really love this band called Elder.
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
And oh yeah, Elder is amazing. I was first introduced to them, I think it was 2015. And I just gotten off of a tour and I was just kind of scrambling around trying to catch my bearings. And then I found Lore. I think I don't think it was their first album. Maybe it was their like first full length. I'm not sure. But Lore was the album that I discovered, and it just kind of like was a breath of air, like a breath of fresh air for me.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when I'm feeling just super out of sorts and I need a higher focus for my life, I listen to Elder. And I just love those long refrains, and just it's very airy and fluid, and how they play their prog rock. And I also love the Contortionist.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Lesser's voice can just heal all wounds. So when I need to feel soothed inside and loved and held, I listen to the Contortionist. Language is to me like one of the most phenomenal albums in the last, I don't know, decade or more. I think they're so woefully underrated for how incredibly talented and visionary they are. And I really love Language. That's an album I can put on and listen and just be transported out of anything. And then the stuff that's like maybe a little bit more cathartic, where I'm just in that, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to bust through it. I'm, you know, if anybody knows me personally, you know, I'm a huge Karen Crisis fan, a huge Crisis, the band fan.
Yeah.
I love the entire Crisis discography. And, you know, just she's able to really just break through a lot of stuff, a lot of darkness with her voice and the power, and how just oddly cool and dissonant and weird that they were in the 90s, and just like so different. But she's, you know, she's a huge inspiration for me vocally. So usually anything by Crisis. And I don't know. I love listening to a lot of doom as well. Like, you know,
yeah.
Electric Wizard and stuff. To just,
how about this?
You know. Yep.
How about this? The album you go to when you just want to punch your friend through a brick wall and you're just pissed and you just need something to just like... just let go. What's like the ultimate just like raw album?
Oh, anything by Asaphalix, Abominable
nice.
Putridity.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of slam, so stuff like that.
Yeah.
So just any kind of slam band of just like, you know, that helps. Analepsy. Gosh, there's so many things. Gadgets. I don't know. Maybe graves at sea sometimes too, because nice. It's so like nasty and raw. And yeah, I listen to a lot of Slam, I would say, to kind of help. Nile too. I'm a huge Nile fan. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Right on. Well, just kind of, you know, getting your opinion on some stuff. And it sounds like you'd have a pretty sweet radio show if you could do one yourself. So let's talk a little bit about Coma Cluster Void. And I believe you're also involved in some other projects. Why don't you give me a rundown of everything that you're currently working on or have worked on as of recently?
Yeah, well, Coma Cluster Void, I joined them in 2018. So we are actually working on a new album right now, very slowly, but it is coming together. I'm really excited for the new music.
Awesome.
We are a distributed team. So there are some of us in Canada, some of us in the U.S., and then some of us in Germany.
Yeah.
So we write and swap virtually. And obviously with everything going on, it's going to be a slower process. I have to, what you asked earlier, some of the things I'm working on, I'm building like a recording booth studio in my
apartment. Yeah. That's sick.
So yeah. So I did a lot of research over the last couple of weeks because I had some time on my hands, just becoming a complete expert on soundproofing and, acoustical treatments, and just so that I can have, you know, so I can move forward with recording vocals for the next Coma Cluster Void album.
You're going to freak your dog out.
I mean, hopefully he won't be able to hear me too badly. I mean, like, it's just like after all the materials I just purchased and acquired, hopefully I'm well insulated in this little telephone booth that I'm constructing.
What's wrong with mom?
I mean, he already knows I'm nuts, so I'm sure it won't be like anything.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, but so working on that and slow, but coming together really well. The new riffs are just devastating, so I'm excited for that. So Sylvia and Jean, who are both in Coma Cluster Void, and myself, we are in a, I guess you'd call it doom industrial doom side project called Cat Nation.
Nice.
And yeah, it's very, it's dissonant, and I think I overuse that word a little bit, but it's dissonant in the sense where it's just sonically very disarming, but very rhythmic. So it's got that industrial side of it, but it's, you know, it's very heavy stuff. It's very intense.
Nice.
So we just released our EP on Bandcamp last month. And so it's just us three ladies, and, you know, it's very, it was very intense process for me to write and record for that. I was going through some interesting transitions in my life and just writing about it, and I think it all comes out in the vocals, pretty abrasive sounding. And then I also have a project out here in Las Vegas, and we are called Eyes of Perdition.
Yeah.
And we just came together. Well, I joined the team last year, and I think it was like, I don't know, April or May. We've only been playing together for a year, but we're kind of more slammy, just like caveman slam, just with hardcore intertwined into it. So
I dig
it. Tough. Yeah, it's just super tough guy stuff. I really love it. It's really fun. We've played a few shows. We actually had a spring tour on the books that's obviously been canceled. We were going to move forward and announce it in March, but with everything going on, it just was completely impossible. So, but are, you know, trying to record, or we have the intention to put something out maybe over the summer once everything kind of comes back together. So there's that. And then I have some solo stuff that I've been writing that's coming together, not yet ready to be released, but just kind of, you know how sometimes you have like songs in your head for years and you're like, I should just record this. So with all this time on my hands, I've been doing that and just kind of arranging music together. And hopefully we'll try to find some people who can join me in translating those ideas to something amazing.
What inspired you to become a metal vocalist? Because it sounds like, it sounds like you like to keep active, and like obviously you have a lot of confidence with your voice if you've put yourself out there with so many projects. What inspired you, and who inspired you, and like what was kind of that light bulb moment?
Wow, yeah, it's a good question. I think it's kind of a combination of things. It definitely started when I was younger. I think I just always had this, I was always involved in music when I was a kid. So I played the flute growing up and
nice.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I understood fundamentally music. I understood it. But I was listening to grunge growing up. I'm a 90s kid. So grunge, hard rock, metal, mm-hmm. Cannibal Corpse, stuff like that. So I was really inspired just by the idea of being able to express all of the trauma I was experiencing as a child, right? We always, yeah. Every lead singer has a story. So there's that. but I was really into like bands that were not traditional metal bands. So and maybe that's why I'm involved in really interesting projects, because I'm really inspired by stuff that's kind of off the cuff. Crisis was a huge inspiration for me. I think I found Crisis. They did a cover of Captain Howdy, which I think is a Dee Snider song originally. I'm sorry if that's wrong, whoever's listening out there.
I don't know. So I'll take your word for it, Lindsay.
Okay. But they did a cover of Captain Howdy. And I was like, who is this chick? Why is this bass so heavy? This is amazing.
Yeah.
Then I, you know, found them back in the days of dial up and just, you know, was really into Crisis. They were just so interesting and unique to me. I was actually a really huge Henry Rollins fan growing up, still am.
Yeah.
I read all his books when I was really young, but I think what that kind of inspired in me was this idea of just being honest with who you are in whatever medium you choose, mm-hmm. and don't try to be like anybody else. Like Rollins is somebody who's just like, I'm just going to do my own thing and that's the end of it. And I really, really was inspired by that. And I think I was inspired by outliers in metal, outliers in music.
Yeah.
Huge PJ Harvey, huge Mike Patton fan. And although they're not necessarily like metal vocalists, they could just do whatever they want.
Oh, for sure.
I'm really inspired by people who just do whatever the want and rely on their own vision to drive them. So that's, you know, over the years, I've kind of tried to start projects and I could never find the right thing because everything was so formulaic. But with the stuff that I'm involved in now, it's kind of right time because it's like this stuff is so unique. Coma Cluster Void is so unique. Cat mm-hmm. Nation is so unique. Eyes of Perdition is so unique. And I just do whatever the hell I want vocally and it works and it feels authentic, as opposed to, oh, well, I've got to sound like Corpse Grinder in order to be a metal singer.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm just kind of do my own thing. So
when did you realize that you could, like, you had a gnarly voice?
I think really it just came down to, honestly, like as soon as I got my license when I was a kid and I was driving around in the car and just screaming along with
nice.
Stuff.
Yeah.
When I was like a little kid, I was screaming and yelling all the time. Maybe I was a little bratty, I don't know, but just screaming and yelling. And then when I got older and I started learning lyrics and hearing tones differently and really using like my ear as opposed to just my will to get the sound out, I was able to experiment with different tones and pitches and stuff like that. I think like emulating at first was helpful because it gave me an idea of like how to physically get the sounds out.
Okay.
Then you just, you know, you kind of graduate out of that and you go, okay, cool. I learned like, this is how you, have diaphragm control, but I want to have my own voice. And so as I got older, I was like, I'm just going to kind of my own thing and just see what happens.
That's awesome. And what was, did you have any bands before Coma Cluster Void? Was that your first thing?
No, I did have a couple bands before CCV. I was in a band, I lived in San Diego for a long time. So I was in a band called I Matador.
Okay.
And that was another really interesting, unique project. It was kind of like group oriented, emo metal. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
We had a lot of different influences. We were just like, we were just kind of off the cuff doing our own thing. It was fun. And then, of course, when I was a teenager, I had a couple of punk hardcore projects. And then I've done some stand-in vocals on tour for Veil of Noth, stuff like that. But I took a lot of years between those projects. I was actually doing a lot of writing for music magazines. So it was just kind of like I was really hyper-focused on like celebrating other people's successes and really promoting things that I love in music. And I kind of put my own stuff on the back burner.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? Like, okay, I'm good. I think I got that out of my system. Now I really want to like express myself in a different way. And I circled back to doing vocal again.
That's awesome. So did you go to school for writing or did you just like start writing on your own time or?
No, actually, well, I studied English and then I bounced around and like went to nursing school and mm-hmm. I got into marketing crazy yeah. stuff. But, no, I actually, my first like adult job, if you want to call it an adult job, that sounds so bad, you know, like adult
yeah.
job.
Well, but, it is.
Yeah, I worked at a music magazine in San Diego called SD Music Matters. And
awesome.
That I was like 18, I think, when I joined the team, 18 or 19. And it was a full color glossy magazine. And we basically wrote about music all day. So I actually did the metal section of the magazine. And then it eventually expanded to being like all of like the West Coast, California area. So
yeah.
I covered all of the metal for them for a few years and then moved into other stuff. And then I started my own magazine called Awesome a few years later, where I just focused entirely on metal, but I didn't want to do like a typical like metal magazine. I wanted to do something that was a little bit more mindful, heartfelt, just a little bit more intimate maybe. And it was, you know, it was fun. I got to meet a lot of people. Some of the people I met, I'm still really good friends with. But it was, you know, it's an expensive thing to run a magazine by yourself. And
yeah, I would imagine.
So that went out the door, but it's still in my heart. Still, you know, something I love to do. But
what was the name of your magazine again?
Osprey, like the bird, Osprey.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And, I went to school for journalism and did some writing on my own and wrote for, a Seattle paper here called The Stranger and stuff. So just curious.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Something I've been asking and we like to kind of ask here is, if you could go back in time and think, even if it's embarrassing, that's even better story. What is the first album? So CD, tape, whatever, whatever physical form of medium it was, of first thing that you purchased on your own with your old money, not given to you by a parent or your cooler older brother or some first thing you purchased on your own.
Oh my gosh. So a couple things come to mind and it's all blending together. I think it was Ace of Base, The Stein. I think I saved up my allowance for that one. And then maybe like the first album that I bought, like with my own, like I'm working money. I think I worked at a, like a clothing store when I was 14. And I think the first album I bought was, I think it was Machine Head or The Burning Red or not The Burning Red. It was, Burn My Eyes maybe.
Yeah. It's hard.
And yeah. Or I think it might've been, I was really into new metal. Don't judge me. It's okay.
Hey, man, I had a Korn Life is Peachy basketball jersey.
Dude, I love, like, Fear Factory. Oh, it was Fear Factory. That's what it was. Fear Factory, D-Manufacturing.
Edge Crusher.
And yeah, dude, I love Fear Factory to this day. I still think that's one of the heaviest albums in that genre that came out in the 90s. But that, I think it was Fear Factory, D-Manufacturing, for sure.
Nice.
I remember that, yeah.
What is the ultimate nu metal band then? Like, what's like the top tier best nu metal band?
Korn, of course. I think Korn are the kings of nu metal. I mean, like, I argue with people about this a lot. They're like, no. When Korn came out, nobody was doing what they were doing. Nobody sounded like that.
Yep.
Nobody looked like that. They were just completely original. Like it or not, whatever they became, you can have your opinion, but nobody was like that. And it was just so interesting and dynamic and emotional. Like in metal, you didn't have like a singer. I mean, maybe some instances, but you didn't have like a John Davis before, somebody who was willing to be very vulnerable, because in heavy music it's about being like, to a certain extent, very powerful and intense and, you know, fighting through stuff. And he fought through stuff, but with a really like tangible vulnerability.
Totally.
And you know, like, you don't see that very often. So Korn for sure. My favorite, however, is definitely Fear Factory. I mean, I guess you wouldn't say, but some people argue they're not nu metal. They're like industrial metal or whatever, but I consider them nu metal, but I love Fear Factory.
Okay, well, I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to play an impromptu game with you right now. I'm going to name six bands, and you tell me, are they nu metal or not nu metal, okay?
Okay.
Biohazard.
Not nu metal.
Crazy Town.
Ooh. Crazy. I don't remember their song.
Come, my lady, come, my pretty baby.
Oh, definitely not nu metal.
Okay. Kid Rock.
All right. I'm going to, but he had like elements of nu metal. He was like a crossover. So I'll throw him in that category because he had a lot of songs that were kind of like on the border. So I'll say yes.
Okay. Incubus.
That sucks because A Certain Shade of Green was a really banging album.
Well, I'm not saying whether it's good or bad. I'm just saying whether it's nu metal or not nu metal. I love nu metal.
I get it. I get it. I'm trying to, but like that had some components of nu metal, but then they graduated out. So I'm going to say yes, fundamentally they are.
Okay. Okay. Mudvayne.
Absolutely.
And the final, my question, because this is one that I've had arguments over and I will defend this band forever. Is Deftones nu metal or not nu metal?
I think Deftones is the band that is nu metal that nobody wants to admit that they are nu metal.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think
because
that
they are,
I think
really
they
good.
Started nu metal and I think that they kind of, they grew out of that sound.
Yeah. I think you could say the same for any of the bands that you listed. Like
for
they
sure.
started in a certain era.
Except for
so
Crazy
they,
Town.
They had that nu metal tinge or that nu metal feel or attitude, but then, you know, people grow up and they grow out of, you know, that. And I think that's like with any of them, it's like, wait a minute, they were nu metal, but now they're not. And Deftones, I think, is one of those bands that, yeah, they were nu metal when they came out, and then they grew up and created some really interesting music after that.
But Edema did not. They are still nu metal. All right. Well, so now we're talking about nu metal, but something I want to know is, what are four albums that changed your life for the better?
Wow. Crisis, The Hollowing, obviously.
Okay.
This is so hard because I love a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would say The End of Silence by Rollins Band.
Awesome.
Gosh. See, that's like childhood stuff, but there's stuff I've heard recently that I'm just like, you know, so much music. So I'll say that. I really, again, love The Contortionist, and I think hearing such a beautiful voice on Language with such amazing music really changed my life for the better. Just kind of widening my perspective on what's possible again in music. So
yeah.
I'm going to say The Contortionist. Candiria, The Process of Self-Development.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That one was like, I remember, I think that came out in like 98 or 99 or something. That one was really, that left a huge impression on me because it was so different, you know? Kind of a segue into my love of Dillinger Escape Plan and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It's like Dillinger Escape Plan with rapping. It's the best.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I know. They've had, or Candiria's had such a horrible go at it with all the, I think they had a van accident.
Yep.
Yeah, but they were definitely a huge influence on me. Definitely changed my life for sure.
That's awesome. Well, just a couple more questions here. If you could pick a scar on your body, Lindsay, and tell us a story of how you got it.
Oh, God. There's so many. Well, no, actually, the most visible scars I have, they're most intense. I have some pretty bad scars on my knees.
Okay.
And they're, So I used to run a lot. I used to be a long distance runner.
Oh, wow.
Really into that. Yeah. Just like, well, like not, I wasn't competing, but just recreationally, I was running a lot.
Yeah.
And, I, used to run just kind of on flat ground, like, you know, no big deal. So I started taking up running in the mountains, and that was a bad choice for obvious reasons. And I was in Denver. I can't remember the name of the friggin', it was in Golden, actually. And I was running up this mountain, and I, or no, excuse me, I was running down the mountain. This is why this is ridiculous. I was running down a very steep mountain wearing Vibrams. Do you remember those like toe shoes?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, thinking I'm a badass, I'm like wearing my toe shoes on the mountain. My toe caught must have been a rock, and I ate it and slid down that mother. Like, it was
oh my God.
Yeah, it was gnarly. And I felt my adrenaline was going so hardcore, and my sense of pride was so high at that point. I'm like, no, you're going to finish this run. So I got up, open knees were just open, finished on the way down to the parking lot, completely just busted open and bleeding. Went back to the place where I was staying and just kind of cleaned it up. And I'm like, hey, it'll be okay. It wasn't okay. It was like a couple weeks before the skin started actually like meeting itself because it's a joint, it's a huge joint. So before the skin started meeting itself again on the knees. So, I probably should have gotten stitches. I didn't. And I have some, you know, busted up knees. I'm okay with it.
Nice, dude. That's gnarly. So, wow. Okay. Thanks for the story.
You're welcome.
Sounds traumatic to relive it though.
Oh, it's all right. I mean, I like grossing people out. So, no, it's, you know, it's okay. Like it doesn't, you know, if they're just scars, live to tell the tale, I guess.
Absolutely. So we're all in this crazy time period right now, and it's certainly going to be something that we tell people about in generations to come. How do you think, and it could be negative or positive, but just in your opinion, how do you think life will change going forward after, say, we get on the other side of this pandemic?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think it could go one of two ways. There's the way that I think it's going to go and the way that I hope it's going to go. I think, you know, there is a big potential for this whole situation to be leveraged in a political fashion, not so beneficial. I've heard some people kind of, you know, really concerned about how this has created a new kind of wealth divide. For people, the haves and have nots, and who don't have are dying. They're getting really sick. And I'm really concerned about if the infrastructures don't change to help improve the livelihood and the quality of life of everyone as a result of this. Like, this is very telling. You know, it's ripping off, you know, mass going on in a lot of communities, countries. This is the issue that we have with wealth by. And the great consequences that a lot of people face because of it, then we're headed down a very dark path, socially, politically, economically, and that's very, very concerning. Things. So the way that I hope it goes is that because it's revealing all this stuff, that people vote more mindfully, more altruistically, people are more community focused, and on helping one another as opposed to running on these and governments to take care of them, to be each other, to recognize that, you know, we do need each other to survive, to thrive, really.
Yeah,
can all come together. So that's the way life goes. And I think a lot of the anxiety are feeling is because we are in that space where it's like this could go really, this could get a lot better for us in terms of the global community, not just our country, but so that's the limbo we're in, and I'm gonna be mindful to lean toward positive, to being a good, kind person, just putting out that vibe and intention, and hope other people do the same.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. And yeah, that's a truth. And let's just hope for the positives and stuff. And we just got to connect with each other. And it's awesome to be able to talk with you about your projects and you know, kind of like some of your influences and some things that can maybe calm you down with all the craziness going on in the world. So 2020, you think maybe Coma Cluster Void will see the release of the new album, or are you guys not putting like a time frame on it?
Fingers crossed that we have some, you know, some skeletons of songs that we're just filling in the hole. And, you know, I think that probably more towards the end of the year, it's likely. We're all very, I think we're all really, we all intend this to be a very phenomenal, groundbreaking, we're gonna work towards that and not really putting a time on that and just hoping that whatever we put out, we're all like collectively proud of.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to the new Coma Cluster Void, obviously, and also Eyes of Perdition. And then what was the other project you were involved in?
Catenation. So C-A-T-E-N-A-T-I-O-N.
Right on. Lindsay, any final words for the Northwest audience before I let you go tonight?
Thank you for the interview, and thank you all of my friends up there. I've been connected with some of you through various social media means and miss you all. I'm really sad Northwest Terror Fest isn't happening this year, but I know we'll come back and see you guys next year.
Yep.
And just, you know, be safe. Love you guys. Love everybody up there and around. Miss everybody, but we'll come back. We're resilient. We'll bounce back.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Lindsay. Have a good night.
Thanks. You have a good night, too.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.